Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless us as we go forward in faith. Bless the lesson, and thank you for those who are watching around the world. Welcome to Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church Midday Bible Study. We're still in the book of 1 Corinthians, the church with all the blessings and with all the problems, the church that is very gifted, and we're going to continue to go forward. We're in chapter 12, and we're talking about the spiritual gifts, and chapter 12, 13, and up to 14, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And so far in chapter 12, we've been talking about the diversity and the dispensation, and we've discovered, and we're holding on to, there's two purposes for the gift, and what are they?
To glorify God and to glorify others.
Right. Edify, glorify is good. Right. To glorify God and to edify others. And we are the conduit to which the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to help the church. Okay. When we say others, we mean individually people, and more importantly, the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives to the body of Christ what it needs in the time frame that it's in. So you think about this. Just because the gift is listed doesn't mean that the gift is needed. The Holy Spirit decides that. Amen. At any point in time. Okay? We don't necessarily need apostles now because they did such a great job that that's not needed now. Okay? There are some gifts, they're still available for the Holy Spirit to use it, but we can't arbitrarily say they're using it or not using it. The Holy Spirit decides what's needed in the church. Okay? So again, we don't see the sign gifts like we used, like we read in the Bible, where people, you know, the apostles would have these abilities to heal the sick, to raise the dead. We don't find that now. Because guess what? Maybe the church don't need that right now like that. Okay? Because that was a purpose for that. That was to prove who they were. But we have the word, which they remember, they didn't have the complete canon of scripture like we have. So we have the word, they had the sign gifts, and again, the church is moving forward with that, you know? And again, remember, we don't decide what the church need. The Holy Spirit decides what the church need. So you can sit back and relax. And all you got to know is everybody's given a what?
A gift.
Everybody's given a gift. And it's for those two reasons, the church and glorify God. So again, and you might spend your whole life unpacking your gifts, discovering your gift, but just participate in as long as you're participating, you're exercising your gift. And people like to show gifts, the preaching, the things that'll put you in front of other people. But God is saying all the gifts that he gives the church through the power of the Holy Spirit, in his eyes, they're all important.
Amen.
They're all important. It's just like, I'm gonna ask you a question. I heard this today. What part of your body is most important to walk with?
Your legs.
Your feet. Any more specific than that?
Your knees,
your spine.
Your thighs.
So it's all your body.
Okay. But you know what? What really helps you walk, and if you didn't have it, you know that you didn't have it, it's
your
big toe.
Toe.
Your big toe. Your big toe bears a lot in your balance. Your big toe bears a lot in your balance. That's why those who have diabetes, they look at their toes, and especially their big toe, because they know if they cut that off, you're going to be off balance.
Wow.
You're going to be off balance. You can still walk, but you won't walk the same way. Okay? So that part that don't nobody pay attention to, that people don't like stubbing, some of y'all got ugly big toes, and some of y'all got pretty big toes, but that big toe has a function that is not seen by man, but is much appreciated and ignored by us. You know, we just take it for granted. We got a big toe, and the big toe do what it does. Let you start getting gout. The first place you normally feel your gout is in your big toe. And I got some friends that got gout. Man, when that gout hit them, they cannot stand for nobody even breathe on it.
Wow.
It hurts so bad.
Wow.
You know. So again, the Bible's talking about It all works together. And God looks at the spiritual gifts for that reason, to unify. And that's another thing. The gifts are supposed to unify. If a spiritual gift is not unifying, then 9 times out of 10, it's being abused. If the purpose is for the church and the church is about unity within diversity, if that gift is being used, it's not unifying the body of Christ, then it actually can be end up what? Tearing the body apart. Okay? The gift should be administered with humility and love in the intent of the person who's being dispensed through. And that is so important in today's time. You know, we didn't got to the point where, again, I could spend a lot of time talking about each gift, but I don't want to talk about that because God is not, the important part is not the gift and the name of the gift. The important part is what function does it do? Whether you have a plastic fork or a fork made with 24 karat gold, it has a function, right?
Yes.
It has the same function.
Same purpose,
yeah. One, you may pay more than one, but guess what? Each one will get the food to my mouth. All right. So, again, we're going to continue in that vein, and then we're going to find out that God said there's a better way to operate, which we already know what that is, because everybody goes over 13. But let's go ahead, Frida, pick up at 12.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body,
mm-hmm.
Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit.
So we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we all come to Christ. This is not the water baptism. This is being the baptized into identification with Christ. Baptism is identification. We read in the beginning that they were baptized unto Moses and the law. We are baptized under Christ into the grace and truth. Okay? So that there's a distinction. There's a demarcation to show us what we're baptized into. We're baptized into Christ. And we all, and remember in the beginning, a whole bunch of we all, they all, we all, we all, we all. When Paul was trying to describe the difference and he used Moses, we all walked in the wilderness. We all ate from the manna. We all of that. And then now he's saying, we all still drink from the same spirit, even though there's a diversity of gift. He's trying to show the unity. We all drink it from the same spirit. And that has nothing to do with maturity. Okay. Even the lowly gift is drinking from the same spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's given to us because Jesus died to give us this. Okay. So when I'm exercising my gift, I realize how important to exercise my gift within the parameters of where I'm going and what I'm doing. Okay, I understand that. All right, go ahead.
For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose.
So now we have him using the metaphor of a body, and he's saying, look, all the body is needed. Every part of your body has a function, and it works together. And we know that as the body of Christ, we know that all things work together, right? For the good, for those who love God. So even we know in that statement, there's a unity that we can apply to our lives and look forward to, because I have brothers and sisters who are part of the same body I'm part of. So we should better lean on each other to one degree or another. You know, we shouldn't be trying to. And again, I watched the saints over the years, the ones who talk a lot, talk about victory and what they're going through, and what everybody got to go through. But the minute what they say is it happens to them, they run away from the body that they can draw from. It's like you're going through desert places and you don't want to come into the well and drink the spiritual water. You want to run as if, I don't know. I know part of it's a false humility and a pride thing, because I hear it all the time. I don't want to disturb you. I don't want to disturb others. But yet and still, you tell others that we are strong together. So why do you get to suck in your own pity party and not come to the body that you encourage us to come through when we're going through? You know what I'm saying? Just like if you're there for me, I should be there for you. You know, it's reciprocal. It's not one way. You know, and we got to get out of this thing. And then again, it's false humility, which is pride. False humility equals pride. It sounds like it's humble, but it's really selfish.
It could, false humility also, could that come into the category of being ashamed or shameful to go to someone share with them what you're going through?
I mean, we're masking it. Okay, we're ashamed of what we've done, because normally, or what we're going through, and we don't want to share it with anybody. But the only problem with that, God is saying, no, that ain't how I want my children to do. Mm-hmm. He wants us to bear each other's cross. Mm-hmm. He wants us, when one is weak, in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us when one is weak, we have to bear them up, mm-hmm. you know. But we can't bear you up if we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we need you to come. Now, we don't need to know the sensational part of it, right? Because if it's sinful, the Bible warns us that in Galatians that those who are spiritual restore such a one, and realize, be careful, because
bless
you can
you
fall
fall.
Into it too.
Bless
you, yeah, be careful, you know, as you restoring. I don't need, you know, if you're upset about a situation with your spouse or with your family member, and it's sorted in a way that it becomes some sexual things or something like that, we don't need to know that part. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to know the particulars. Mm-hmm. If there's some sexual abuse, there's some sexual abuse. But we don't need to know the fine details to uplift you. And some of us have lived long enough that we can read between the lines. Mm-hmm. We should be able to. Mm-hmm. And kind of figure out what's really going on without being told. Mm-hmm. So we can know what to pray. And that's called you getting older, you're getting wise. Okay? I heard this the other day. They say a smart person learns from their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. But a wise person learns from other people's mistakes. Mm-hmm.
So they won't make the same mistake.
Mm-hmm. So you can go and be smart and learn from your own mistakes, but you know, it'd be nice if we can be wise and learn from other people's mistakes.
Well, Pastor, what happens when you see somebody going through and they're in denial? You want to help them, but they don't want your help.
There's nothing you can do but pray for them by yourself. There's nothing, when somebody rejects your help, there's no reason for you to keep going back, trying to overpower them with what you want to do. It don't work. 9 times out of 10, you end up resenting them and they end resenting you. If they tell you they don't want to talk about it, back up. You know, because a lot of times that person says that they really want to talk about it, and if you back up, they'll end up coming to you. They'll end up coming back around because they thinking that normally the person who coming to help, they kind of go, say, I want to help, and then come back again, I want to help, and I'm really here for you. And then eventually they break. But then if you say, especially you grown, whatever you say, you don't want no help, I'm gone. See you later. Now they like, I wanted you. Oh, well, they say that. Don't play with my emotions.
Okay.
Tell me what's up, or don't tell me nothing at all. Tell me what I need. And it's like a lot of times as a pastor, dealing with the unity of the body and trying to help the body, people tell you half stories, but they want full advice. My thing is, you need to let me know, again, not the sort of details that are sinful, but kind of really the real deal, you know, them hypotheticals. I don't like dealing in hypotheticals. Tell me what's really going on so I can give you the most solid advice I can give, you know, based on the scripture. And then when somebody tell you something, say, I've been practicing this as of lately, the past couple of years, I get the information, I pray on it first. And I search the scriptures about it. And then I come back and comment on it. And you know, it seems to be a lot wiser that way. Because sometimes you can jump in when things are real hot and you got some good advice, but it's so hot, the situation is so hot that it won't bring unity, it won't bring calm. It'll just ignite it even the more. Even though you're bringing good advice, It's just sometimes it's too hot to get in right now, you know. And we deal with that with our family members, okay? So the body is all one. It has diverse gifts. It's dispensed by the Holy Spirit. It's for the unity of the body. I mean, Paul has spent this whole chapter talking about this. So it must be important, okay? It must be important. Go ahead, Frieda.
Verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
See that unity? Many parts, but one body. Go ahead.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor.
So that's what I was talking about, the big toe. Go ahead.
And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, mm-hmm. which our more presentable parts do not require. Mm-hmm. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body.
So in other words, what God is saying is, whereas the preaching gift is a show gift and it gets honor from the people who pray may not get the honor from the people, but God says, I equal it out because I honor what they're doing because they're doing it behind the scenes.
It's so, amazing how we use that. Just fix the that opposite phone. I forgot of what is intended, what you know Paul is saying here, because we normally exalt those with the show gifts. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are not seen, those that use their gifts that are not seen, you know, we usually put them down.
Yeah, and really not that we don't put them down, we just ignore them.
Ignore them.
Yeah, we don't really put them down, we just ignore them because we don't really pay attention or give credit to them. I mean, that's why I kind of started the Faithfulness Award, because it's the people who come, they're not in front of the camera, but they're y'all been faithful. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, they've never seen some of you, you know. They you know, they've seen Joyce, they've seen Jack, they've seen everybody in this room, at least one. And out of this room, they've seen Loetta less than everybody. But is the fact that they've seen us more important than what I know Loetta does for the ministry? As she, when she comes out and does what she does and speaks, and you know what I'm saying? Then she's just as important as all of us.
Right.
You know, so ministry is never about big eyes and little U's. Right. And when you're under a leader who sets that paradigm up where in essence, we're all serving each other under God, glorifying God by serving each other, okay? As your leader, my job is to always foster the unity and the service, not towards me, but towards God and each other.
Amen.
Okay? If a leader's not doing that, that's not a leader of God. That's like a corporate leader. You know what I'm saying? Or a mayor or somebody like that, a politician, where they're the pinnacle. God's leaders are never the pinnacle. Even though man may look at them that way, a poor person that's chosen by God looks at the fact he's called to serve or she's called to serve, which we all are called to serve. You know, because what happens when you have that pinnacle type leadership, he or she is at the top, everybody's scrambling to get where? To the top, get close to the top. Nobody's trying to stay in their place at the bottom and lift. They're trying to get to the top. Every man for themselves. But when a leader sets the leadership based upon this and the unity, we all are servants. We are all looking to lift somebody up.
Hallelujah.
We're looking around to where we can fit in and lift somebody up. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that. And since we're always looking for that, the body will be balanced.
Amen.
Because we're all part of, in a way, foundational people building on top of us. You know, we're always looking for that. And I know that's not a popular thing to do, but that's biblical. That's biblical leadership. You know?
But see, the thing of it is, when you say servant, mm-hmm. a lot of people, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that word, servant. Mm-hmm. Because you got so many that want to be celebrities instead of servants.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to serve one another. They want to do, just like a lot of times, you know, especially when it comes to the body of Christ, we should be looking for what we can do and how we can serve to the glory of God and to it, you know, to edify God. But a lot of times when you talk about serving, I don't want to be no servant. What you talking about? I'm not your slave. You know, they associate that word servant with slave.
Yeah, and again, and even with God's associate servant with slave, it's a different kind of slavery. You know, it's not chattel slavery. It's a willing to give your life to Christ and serve him as your, as a doulos, as the lowest slave possible. And see, the celebrity pastor is not a pastor of the Bible. Everybody that we can look at in the Bible that we read, that it seems like the more the celebrity come, the more the people want to kill them. Okay, the society wants to kill them. I don't see no glory in Moses delivering them out of the promised land and has one fatal flaw of striking a rock and now he can't get in himself. And what glory is in that? When Jesus stands up, and when you read the Old Testament, they killed all the prophets. None of the prophets went into heaven like with a great funeral and a procession. They killed them all.
Yes, they did.
And Jesus said, you killed all of my prophets.
Yes.
And you gonna kill me. Mm-hmm. And then he told Paul, guess what? They gonna kill y'all too. Mm-hmm. So where's the celebrity, everybody loves you thing? But then the Bible tells us, he warns us, when you got leadership like that where everybody loves them, the whole world loves them, the United States loves them, they're not God's prophets. They're not God's men. They're not God's women. They are the world. Did the world say? They are who prophet? America's prophet. Well, they already tell you who they belong to. You know, they're America's prophet. You know, they're a prophet for the time. They're, you know, they use the words, you are for a season like this. Well, who do they normally say that to somebody who's popular. They don't say that to the guy who has a church who's trying to teach the people the word of God. No. They don't say that to them, but they say that to somebody who's trying to be a celebrity. And now in our time, there's this new crop that's coming up. The Benny Hens and the rest of them, they getting old.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a new crop coming up, you know. And we're going to do a class on this new crop that you got to watch, mark, and avoid, because they're picking up where their fathers left off at, deceiving the people, and even more being deceived. And they're worse than their forefathers because they just do all kind of crazy stuff.
It's like a marketing. It's a marketing thing.
Yeah. It's very worldly, it's very satanic, and it will lead people astray. And we're living in that time where the Bible says, think about the Bible says, the people are going to heap up to themselves. That means you're going to pile bad teacher off the bad teacher after bad teacher after bad teacher, and you're going to heap them up so they can tickle your ears. So you get bad teachers over here, then you got bad teachers over here, and you just follow the trail. And it's hard to find good teaching. There is good teaching out there. It's not as hard to find as you think, but you're trying to find a teacher that's going to what? Tickle your ears. And not tell you the truth. You know, they still talking about first fruits. You know, get into your pocket.
That's right.
That's all they talk about. They find something through the scripture that mimics them accessing your finances and controlling your mind. How does that bring unity to the body? It doesn't. You know, it makes a leader the pinnacle. You know, you're not giving from the heart anymore. You're giving because you see a biblical scripture to where this was required. It has nothing to do with money. And they done adopted it. They done twisted it. And now you worried about they'll get bolder with it as time goes on. First, it's like a week salary. Then it's a month salary. Then they like, I tell you what, give a 2 month salary. Because if they get away with the one, they'll keep pushing the envelope to get away with the other. And that's going to divide the body, because even if you could give a month or two-way salary, there's somebody who can't give that. So what do? Not to feel ashamed, they either lie or they go and borrow it. And now whenever you had promised don't happen for them, they too ashamed to come and say you lied to them. They either stay or they go, but they mad at God. But that none of that was God. See, that's what I'm saying. The spiritual gift of persuasion, persuading people, that's a gift. And it can be abused. That can be abused. That charismatic leader that has the gift of the tongue and can speak real good and look real good, and you sitting there, you admire all his or her aesthetics. If they're not really on God's team, they're going to get you. They got the ability to get you because you're enjoying them. But it seems to me, what I've seen is, eventually, sometime or another, you ain't getting out of there without no money. I've been to one conference and one conference only that they didn't take not a one offering for all 5 days. And of course, you know I was waiting for the shoe to drop. And they gave us lunch every day. And I ain't talking about no bag. I mean real good lunch every day. Because we had breakout. We had the main session in the morning. We had breakout sessions. And again, not one dime was taken. Not one dime was, they didn't even come to you and say, well, this speaker needs, they didn't do the speaker stand up front and get, no, they didn't do none of that. Speaker came up, did what they had to do, met with some people afterwards, and went on about their business. Whole conference like that, morning and evening, plus breakout sessions. That's how you, that's impressive. Because I didn't think that was real. I didn't think there was nobody like that, but there are.
But that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. Right. Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. So you look for the unifying, and you look, and again, as you get saints, as you get more mature, you look for the shoe to drop. You look for the shoe to drop, because eventually they got the speaker that was bought in. Normally, it's the speaker's brought in to make money, like a comedian. Some of the speakers, I've even been around the not so popular ones, but ones that have a fee, they tell you stuff like this. I get X amount of dollars up front, and I get half of what's taken in. And they so stuck on themselves, I guarantee you're going to make X amount of dollars, or my name ain't so-and-so-and-so-and-so. How does that glorify God?
Not at all.
It don't. You sound like a hireling.
Yes, that's all right? What
you are. You're a hireling, all right? Go ahead, Frieda.
But that the members may have the same care for one another.
See, the same care. We were just talking about that. All the members should have the same care for another. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't care for me any more than you care for anybody else that's in this room or in this congregation. Now, we know equality is kind of a elusive thing. But what it's basically saying is, if you willing to bring me a cup of water, be willing to give somebody else a cup of water. Like Sister Brown did, she would ask all the room, do you want something to drink? That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. She didn't look at me and ask me, did I want something to drink, and left y'all out. Right. She asked everybody in the room, you want something to drink? You want something to drink? You want something to drink? That, little simple stuff like that shows that you have to understand that we all supposed to care for each other.
Amen.
You know, try to make nobody in, you know, but there's some people you got to realize, no matter what you do, they're going to be in their feelings. The person that didn't get the water first is going to think they should have got their water first. Why did you give my water last? I don't know. I just didn't make it there. Right. Well, I'm being my feelings because you gave my mother her water first, and I'm the pastor. No. You know, that's crazy. But you know, we know that that's real. We laughing because it would be great if we were making this up.
That sounds like something that goes on in my son's church.
Mm-hmm.
He understands, and if he misaddressed the pastor, one of the elders will come up to her and say, no, you cannot call her that. You must call her Pastor so-and-so, so-and-so. You know, he's been knowing this lady for a long time, and I think I can't remember what her name is, but he kind of addresses her by her first name, and they just, they get on.
They have a whole conniption, don't they?
They get on him so much about that.
Yeah.
That's who she is. She's not her title. And that's
But see, and that's what I'm saying. But see, that's when the title, when a church is so big on titles, them people who are enforcing that, they want to be called their title too.
Mm-hmm. They protect her.
I want to be seen with the famous person. You know.
And a lot of it is jealousy too, because if he's had that relationship with her all his life, and they know each other a long time. These other people, a lot of time, is jealousy. You know.
Yeah, but what?
Well, wish they had.
But see, this is the problem, and you know it ain't their fault. It ain't their fault. It's her fault. That's her fault. Oh, she's allowing it to be done. She the leader. She's the leader. No, I'm just saying, I wouldn't let y'all do that to me.
She should correct them.
She should correct them. She's the leader. She's absorbed. See, that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful, because what you can do is say it's them,
But she's receiving it. She's not saying, no, no, don't do that. Like I would. I'd be like, no, uh-uh. If you call me Minister Sutton, James Sutton, Jim, whatever, Pastor, whatever, I'm not going to sit here and expect, I wish one of y'all would. Go, don't call him Jim. Call him Pastor. Call him Dr. Sutton. Don't let me hear it. And I'm going to check you. I'm like, who told you to do that?
But that's like what you just finished saying, that bad teaching gets passed and passed and passed on. So that's the way she was ordinated into becoming a minister, because her father was the minister of that church.
Well,
and so it was just passed on.
That's another thing. First of all, we've made this church thing a dynasty thing. Where we pass it down to family members. Let me ask you this. Did Moses pass it down to his son?
No.
Did Paul pass it down to his children?
No.
Did Peter pass it down to his children?
No.
Okay.
God
got to send them.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the assumption is, because you a pastor, your kid's supposed to be in the church. Mm-hmm. And a lot of churches get messed up when they do that, mm-hmm. because that person, your kids ain't called. And then the kids, the preacher kids, you hear them complain. I don't want to do this. I want to try to have a life of my own. I love God, but I'm not, dad gave it to me, mom gave it to me, but this ain't what I want to do. You know, I want to do something else. You know, but they want to keep what they want to keep in the family, the money. They done built this big old church and all this money. You think they're going to walk away with it because God say, your kids ain't the one. This person over here, the one that hasn't been involved in this church. No, you ain't going to walk away from that. And even if her father taught her that, she gets no excuse. I don't get no excuse if I got taught bad teaching. Because what did God say? He always give you a way of escape. And if you in leadership and you supposed to be leading God's people, don't you think God is strong enough to communicate with you that your dad taught wasn't no good and you could teach something else? Ask Josiah. See, that's what I'm saying. When you know your Bible, I can go Bible with you. Josiah's father was evil.
Yes, he
and his father before Manasseh was evil.
Yes, he was.
Josiah was a good king.
Yes, he was.
So he was born into a family of bad kings. His example was bad kings. And Manasseh was the worst of them all by the Bible. Go read 1 Kings chapter 22 and 21, 22. He said his daddy was, Manasseh was a bad king. Hezekiah was such a bad king. And this is just a sidebar. Hezekiah got 15 more years to live. He ended up showing Babylonians all his treasures of Israel. Samuel comes along and says, why did you do that? You know, they came and they was feeling, you know, whatever he said, you shouldn't do that. And that's when Samuel predicted they're going to go in captivity, right? And he told them and this is what he told them. He told them that your children, your sons are going to be eunuchs and enslaved by the Babylonians. You know what a eunuch is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your sons are going to get their privates cut off. And you know what he said?
So?
You know, at least it's going to be peace in my time. He ain't worried about his sons.
He can care less.
He can care less. So then you have Manasseh is the son of Hezekiah. He was a hard, they say there been nobody worse than Manasseh. And all the idolatry, all that stuff we read about, all that was going on during Manasseh's time. Mm-hmm. Then you got his daddy who reigned for 2 years but was just as bad. And the people killed him. But then the people who killed him, they got killed by the people. Then Josiah took the crown at 8 years old. So think about it. His example was bad king. But when he saw the word of God that was hid, the word of God was gone somewhere. There wasn't no Bible. They was there doing a rehab job, cleaning up. And one of his secretaries found the word of God and looked at it. Now think about it, they had never seen it before. Because you got over 100 years between Hezekiah and Josiah. They never seen it before. They knew about the bad stuff their daddy and their granddaddy did. And once the man took it to Josiah, he read to Josiah, Josiah ripped his clothes. He became, he took down all the idols. He destroyed them. He killed all the false prophets. You know why? Because he made a choice.
Yes, he did.
So when you under bad leadership, you don't have to be that. So I don't give you a pass because your daddy taught you bad. Okay? You don't get that pass. You know, there's a whole bunch of problems with that situation anyway, other than you, I just ain't said it, but she ain't supposed to be no pastor, so ain't no such thing. Okay? You ain't found one in the Bible. Okay? So I know why dad passed it on. He want to keep that money in the family. Did he have sons?
I think he had one son.
And what did his son do?
Musician or something?
Huh?
A musician or something?
He's a what?
A musician, I think.
Okay, he's a musician. Okay, he gave it to the stronger one that has more charismatic. Again, I'm not judging her, but I'm just saying what ends up happening with us is in America, we like to pass the dynasty on. We can't imagine walking away from this big building, all this money, and just letting our kids go ahead and be kids. And if they're called, why can't they start a different work? Why they gotta be here? What if God is calling? One of the ministers has been sitting out there, been faithful to that pastor, is the actual one that's supposed to be there. But you want to keep the money in the family. That didn't happen several times. You know, let God bring the, God chooses his people. And he doesn't choose, hold up, the whole story of Israel is what? He don't care about no bloodline. He don't care. The bloodline is quicker to mess up than somebody who's not part of the bloodline. Okay? And again, does that cause unity? No, that causes animosity. Division. Because when a person who's coming up under this leadership gets bypassed and they've been just as faithful, because the daughter or the son, what that normally causes, a lot of times in church, what that do? They cause a split, don't it?
Yeah, they leave.
They leave, one go one direction, one go the other direction. When the church should be unified to try to find who the next pastor is. I'm not saying she shouldn't be leadership, but I mean, it's like, I've just seen it too much. They don't want to let go of that money. It's really about this, you know. But as far as calling him, you know, that thing of you got to call a person title all out in the public and at the barbecue with the family. Man, no. I wish my cousins would call me pastor. And a lot of times people call you that facetiously. Because they know you like to be called that. So they don't really have respect for you. They just call you that just to watch you or call you out of that by your real name to watch you turn around, your neck turn around like. Some people think, this is funny, we got to move on, but some people think that their title was their first name. That's what happened, you know, where we came from.
You go to the doctor, then who are you? I'm pastor, so.
No, especially when it's a name that's a name like I'm Bishop so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
So they think Bishop is their first name. So a person talking to them, hey, Bishop so-and-so, they think that Bishop is their first name, not a title. And the church has gone through this thing of initials. Bishop E.B. so-and-so, or Bishop J.T. so-and-so, or Pastor Q.R. so-and-so. It's funny to watch the stuff that the church has gone through in time. You know, everybody want their two initials. So my name would be Dr. J.C. Sutton the second. You know, Pastor J.C. Sutton the second. That is so crazy. Don't forget Pastor Doctor. Yeah, see, that's crazy. But why is that important if it doesn't unify? It's only important for people who really want to stand out and really not be unified. They don't want to serve. They want to be important. Okay? Edify themselves. Selfishness, self-centeredness, and that's of Satan. Satan is the most self-centered creation that God has ever made. And that's why when Peter said that to Jesus, he told him, get behind me, Satan, because it was going against the will of what God told him he was going to do. So anytime that you're going against the will of God, you're acting like Satan. Because if you're going against the will of God, you have to be going under your own will for self.
You only, it's only two. Edify people, edify God, or it's you. Okay? And when you acting under you, you acting like your father, your ex, your supposedly ex-father, Satan, who was a liar from the beginning. Okay? That's all. That's all I gotta say. Bad teaching, yeah. I feel for those who are under bad teaching, but you're still gonna be, you're not gonna go to God and say, it was the teacher that you gave me. You're not gonna be able to do that. Because he gonna say, there was a time when you could have went to this class and you didn't go with Sister Jackie, and Jackie wanted to take you to some good teaching and you didn't want to go. That was your way of escape. Just go listen. But no, I don't want to go. I'm going to be over here. Then you get in front of the Lord. You say, well, Lord, I was faithful to a bad church. He'll say, I ain't tell you to be faithful to a bad church. I gave you a way of escape. Where was that? Remember when Jackie asked you to come and listen to some teaching, or she sent you a YouTube video, some good teaching or whatever, and you didn't look at it, you ignored it, or you did look at it and it pricked you so bad, it kicked you in the butt so much, went against all that bad teaching you taught, and you're like, I can't leave this bad teaching. I'm comfortable. He gonna say, oh, really? The hell you go. Come on, let's go.
Verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together.
See, and that's the thing. That's how we should be. If you down, it's the weakest link in the chain. Mm-hmm. Right? But if we don't know that you weak and you fronting, and the whole power of the ministry is flowing out of you, because you ain't telling us that you got a hole in you at this moment. Mm-hmm. Or telling somebody, you ain't got to come for the whole church. But my goodness, don't sit here in pain when you know your sisters and brothers love you. Y'all done got me through so much. Since I came to Christ, my brothers and sisters that I've run into over the years, including y'all, have gotten me through everything that I've been through. The death of my parents, all of that. The falling of the church that I love, closing, all that. What got me through that is the love of y'all, for the love that y'all give me and that I love you. Our little midday Bible study back at the old church, man, we stayed together. You can tell. We wasn't even tripping. We were like, okay, church closed down. We'll meet at the library. I mean, we didn't miss a beat. We wasn't sitting back going, oh, my God. What we going to do? What we going to do? We're like, okay, we're just going to keep going to the library. We're going to go to the library and meet. We didn't know what it was going to become, but we knew our strength. And our, even though we were all disappointed, the strength is, we were together. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And if it wasn't go past us being at the library, we were all healed to go other places together.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Unity and strength.
Because there was unity and strength.
Hallelujah.
And I'm gonna say this, wasn't a man in sight. I'm gonna tell the truth.
Yeah.
It was all women. Okay? That's how I know God gives to the body what the body needs. Because he has no respect of a person. And we just read, whether you're a Greek or a Jew, whether you're a male or a female. If you're a female and you got the goods, hey, I'm not going to reject you because you're not a male. You know what I'm saying? Or you're not a male. I'm not going to reject you. And the gift you want to get a body? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I ain't that foolish. Now, if these dudes is running around, no. Y'all the strongest thing in church right now. And from what I've understood in history, because I love studying history of especially the African-American church, y'all have always been the strongest thing in the church. Mahalia Jackson, all of them, they say when Martin Luther King used to come to town, they was the one raising the money for him. Singing and Aretha Franklin and them singing and having concerts and stuff. You know, it was the sisters putting them up in homes and hotels and cooking food for everybody and his entourage. They say the African Americans in the North, they didn't really like him because they had the factory jobs already. If you check, he didn't come North a whole lot.
He went South.
He stayed South because they didn't want him in the North. But yeah, but after he got popular, then they all wanted him in the North. You know, that's how people, we fickle people. People are fickle. All right, go ahead, Frieda. So we all take on each other's cross. Go ahead.
If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
Mm-hmm. We see, we suffer, we rejoice together. So somebody gets the faithfulness award. It's, think about this. If anybody gets it, which now everybody in our church almost needs it. That's why I just stopped there. I'm like, shoot, I might just give it to everybody. You know, but that's a good feeling, because even when I started giving it, if you have it, the key is you have it because everybody else helped you get it. You see what I'm saying? Use an environment that you could flourish to show your faithfulness. And it's the environment that you was in, which is everybody else, the reason why you have it. I'm not a pastor because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor because of an environment that flourishes us to, for me to be y'all's pastor. It's not. It's, this is not a thing where of achievement. This is a thing of grace and humility. Okay? That's how it should be. Grace and humility. Man, I'm receiving the faithfulness award, and I can point to five other people that probably deserve it. But God has graced me with it, and see, if it's my award, it's y'all's award too. Wouldn't it be great if the world just thought like I've been talking about? I think the world would be up, and it can only be this way when Jesus comes back.
Amen.
We can try the best that we can. We're going to do the best we can. But think about, if the world cared about each other, wouldn't be no Gaza. Wouldn't be all these problems. Wouldn't be the Sudan and all this stuff. You know, wouldn't be this separatism. But see, evil thrives on being separate. It thrives on it. It eats it up. It thrives on, I want more, and I'll do anything I can, and Stephen's kids, including step on you, to get more. And I want power. I want sex, money, and power. Okay? In whatever order you want it. Okay? And you'll do anything to get it. Because that's the capitalistic way. It's only illegal until I get caught. You know, many of rich people that went to jail for doing stuff illegal and said, well, everybody else doing it. You just the one that got targeted today.
And we're gonna kill you if you talk.
That's right. Better shut it up, yep. Take the lumpy dumps, and go about your business.
Yep.
Okay?
But think about that. If all these different countries, it's like each country has so much to offer. That's why everybody, we all intertwine. We get this from China, this from Japan, this from Taiwan, whatever. And I often wonder, what would have happened if everybody just got along and shared what each country had with everybody else? And
yeah,
I mean, it would be
the Garden of Eden. It would be utopia.
Yeah.
It would be Jesus had to be on the throne, because man in his own nature loves darkness rather than light, because his deeds are evil. The Bible tells us that's the normal nature of man. And again, what we're reading is supernatural, that we try to bring into the world and show people the light of what we're reading, the unity of the body of Christ. And when we don't see it, we see the darkness, and we try to talk to people. People still got this greed thing. I want. They covet, and you know, think about coveting is a sin. You know, coveting is a strong sin, because that's saying I want what I see that you have. And I might be willing to do whatever it takes. Lie on you, hurt you, slander you, you know, do anything to hurt you, malign you, so I can get what you get, not the way you got it legally, but just make you fall. And whatever you have will open up, and I'll be there to scoop it up. I'll befriend you and then stab you in the back to get what I want from you. That's the world. And when it, and see, the sad part about what I'm about to say is that's the world, and the world is in the church.
That's true. Oh, that is so true.
The world is in the church.
That is so true.
Whereas churches are taking on these postures. Leadership is taking on these postures of keep everybody else fighting and not see what I'm doing. Why are you laughing, Sister Brown? Keep everybody else fighting each other. And you won't see what nobody else, you won't see what I'm doing. Whispering in one person's ear one thing, whispering in another person another, and they fighting each other, not thinking that since you the leader, you have helped them and know what this person doing for real, and they help this person know what you're doing, and they all they want to do is sit back and see the friction. So they can twinkle their toes and get away with stuff. Okay, we've been there. Hey, with Sister Brown. Yes, sir. Been there, done that. You know, that's not this. See, that's abusing your gift. Remember what I just told you? That obviously that leader has influence, right? And you're influencing for evil? To make brothers and sisters fight amongst each other? And then when it get heated, you back up and it's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Because they don't put it together. There's you, the one who started the fight with them. Because you told them in secret. You told them in secret. So they want to honor what they, hopefully, they want to honor what y'all agreed upon. And you don't even know, neither one of y'all understand, hey, playing both sides of the fence. Because you think you done got special with the leader. The leader told me something. Yeah. And then the leader told me, I ain't going to never tell on that leader. Then down the line, y'all get together. And you find out, y'all start comparing notes. And then you realize that they say, that they say were the leaders. Been there, lived it. But God is good. If I had to go through that again to get the group I got now, I'd go through it again. Because it's worth whatever I went through to get to understand what I'm saying now, actually was part of the journey to get me to the point where I understand I wanted to be a different type of leader. I wanted to look at the Bible and see what kind of a giving leader. That's all I see the Jesus as, is a giving leader. Amen. Now, no, he don't compromise on nothing. But his goal is to get you in the position so he can give you everything that he got. Maneuver you in the position to give so that you have a heart of giving. Okay? When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 11, 10, 11, 12. Read, I'm doing something. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I make a think it says 10. And it talks about Christian giving. 9 and 10, I think. When you start reading, you read all that, you'll see the level of it lines up with this. You gotta start here with the unity, and then that unity will spill over into your giving, giving of your time, giving of your tender, giving of your talent. If you don't have unity and you always got confusion, that trio is going to be hard to accomplish because everybody's looking at everybody else and everybody's trying to cross out everybody else and everybody's trying to get next to the pastor to be the pastor's next chosen person. Okay, we got to get beyond that in church. All right, Frieda, we're going to finish this chapter. Go ahead.
Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Do all work miracles?
No.
Do all possess gifts of healing?
No.
Do all speak with tongues?
No.
Do all interpret?
No.
But earnestly desire the higher gifts.
So now he throws in something that he's never said. There's higher gifts. With that, with an S, right?
Yes.
There's higher gifts. So apostle, everybody know. Is that important? No. Tongues, no. Teacher, no. But there's a higher gift. Okay? And what he say? He say, go after the higher gifts, right? Yes. And he will show us a what?
And I will show you a still more excellent way.
And that's the end, right?
Yes.
So we're now going into the more excellent way. And we always know what that is. The excellent way is always administered through love. So he's going to reiterate it. And he's going to sum up the unity, the purpose in chapter 13 about love. And he's going to compare it and say, so Corinthian church, y'all might have all this power. Now he's going to go from the gifts to power of gifts. He's going to say, if you got the power to do this, you got the power to do that. If you don't have the humility and the sacrificial love, he even says, your gift ain't worth nothing. Then he says, if you are exhibiting the gift and you don't have his love, you're, as the saint of God, as a person in the body, you're not nothing. Okay? So it brings us back to, we got to seek out the unity and the love to function as a body of Christ, as Christ would want us to. And that's the highest gift. It's the love. It's not the gifts.
It's the purpose and its ability to unify us through love is the highest gift. So teaching under love, highest gift. Okay? Interpretation, if we need it, highest gift. But it has to be in love, not in ego. Speaking in other tongues. And it didn't say unknown tongues. It said other tongues, which means it's known tongues, which, again, this is not the prayer language. This is actual tongues. We have a mother tongue. It is English. If somebody came in here and started speaking Swahili, that would be another tongue. And the interpretation would be God would give you the gift because that person is prophetically talking the words of God. And then what ends up happening is you don't know Swahili. We know you don't know Swahili. And then all of a sudden that person come in and start talking Swahili and God gives you the gift to interpret it so we can understand it. So it'll unify the body. He's going to even get into that. He say, look, if you're speaking in tongues and don't nobody know what you're saying, you edifying yourself. You speak, and he even described it as mysteries. If it's a mystery, that means you don't even understand what you're saying. Okay? It's a one-way conversation. Okay? I'm always looking for a two-way conversation with God. I want to understand some stuff.
Right.
And he's going to even say, get an understanding. Pray with your mind. We're going to get all into that next when I come big.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.